This is HDN.
The actors and jesters are here. The stage is in darkness and clear. For raising the curtain, and no one's quite certain whose play it is.
This is the Halifax Daily News for Tuesday, September 23rd.
Well, would you looky here? What, the kids have been back in school, what, 3 weeks? 2 weeks? Not even. They were off yesterday.
And today is the first day of fall. The first full day of fall.
Full day, yeah. Kids had the day off yesterday because a number of schools were without power for several hours. A little bit of a storm rolled through. It was kind of Arthur-like, but didn't really have a name, but certainly made its presence known.
What's up with that? Why didn't it have a name? It didn't come from the tropics, did it? It just kind of formed over us?
I guess so, yeah.
We're manufacturing our own hurricanes now, Canada.
Hey, we don't need anybody else to import
Screw
their...
your tropic winds. We have our own here.
We'll make our own, thank you very much. I don't mean to harp on this, but if the schools were without power for an entire day, then fine, but... Other jurisdictions have late openings. I don't know why we don't do it here.
Because we bus in everybody. Let's just think of our own situation here with Bronwyn. Mm-hmm. She gets bused to Lockview in Fall River. So we're in Beaver Bank. Think of all the kids that get bused in the morning and all of their parents who are at work right now. All of a sudden they say, guess what, folks? We're having school after all. Who figures out which buses go where and if kids get to school and how they are? You see what I mean? It's just a logistic nightmare. It's best just to say, we're closed. That's it. We'll see you tomorrow.
I guess, yeah. I guess it is easier in jurisdictions where the vast majority of the kids walk than, you know, you could potentially have late openings. I mean,
don't have that anymore. I would imagine
elementary
schools and things like that that serve a community. But so many schools around here have kids bussed in from other communities. Mm. They're looking at the populations of all the schools and all the areas, and they're trying to figure out which ones we can close and where we can bus people to and just to... You know, because those bean counters want to save every last penny.
Yeah, but I went to school in New Brunswick as well, and very similar situation, but they do late openings. Like, I do remember a number of times last winter when we had snowstorms that, you know, closed the schools here in Halifax, and by 11 o'clock in the morning, it was a bright, sunny day. In New Brunswick, they would delay opening until, you know, 10:30 in the morning, and it seems to work for them, and I don't know why. I don't know what the difference is.
When they do have late openings, the kids that are bussed in are kind of SOL.
Mm.
You see what I mean?
Well, now, how did they handle it out west when you were going to school?
We never closed. Minus 40, we were there.
Yeah.
We'd have to rip our tongues from the cold metal post and walk knee-deep in snow to get to school. That was our more... Well, I think if it got below minus 10 for hockey, outdoor hockey was canceled, and below minus 20... There was some temperature there where they would cancel the school if it was too cold.
And if the power was out?
No, I remember the power going out in school. We just do our stuff. See, that's the thing. We weren't so dependent on power like they are now.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they have the computers, they have the internet, they have all of that. Back when we were at school, the teacher would read with a flashlight rather than read with the overhead light. That was the only difference.
Pencils still work in the dark.
But when I went to school, we pretty much walked to our school. And, you know, each community had their own elementary school. Now, later on, when we were in junior high and high school, yeah, there were late openings, but we would get to school ourselves.
Mm.
Like, I would take the city bus to go to school.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, and or ride my bike. Which you can't now, because if you took the bus from Beaver Bank to Fall River, you'd still be waiting right now for that bus because there isn't one. Crappy transit is what we have.
Mm.
And that's why there are all these school buses. Do you remember growing up and seeing that many school buses on the road? They're everywhere now because every kid is getting bused to a different school.
Yeah.
When I grew up, you rarely saw a school bus. And we had a couple of new communities that were just built and their schools hadn't opened yet. So they were bused to our school.
Yeah. But
that was a different...
You were right in the city center. I mean, I've always lived outside of town, either in the suburbs.
No, we were right in the suburbs. It's the center now, but that city has grown. No, we had to get a gravel road to get to our house. I mean, yes, we still had city water and city sewer and city power and all of that.
Mm.
But whenever they would build a community, they would build it around the field, the elementary school, the rink. I mean, they planned it out that way. Here, there are so many people looking, going, "Oh, we're down 20 kids in this school, so let's close that and we'll bust them over here, and then we'll do this."
I think it all comes down to saving money.
Well, once again, you get a company that spreads themselves really, really thin, and if something happens, an emergency, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You know, and we've seen that with radio, for instance. When you have people tweeting, there is an armed gunman roaming the city streets and our radio station is still playing sports piped in from the States. That's what happened down in Moncton.
Yeah.
You see, all you needed is that one person sitting there burning the midnight oil going, "Oh, something's happening. Let me call somebody.
Yeah.
Let me push this button." That's all you needed, and you would have been right there. But they decided
that
that's 99 times out of 100, that person isn't going to be called into action. So let's just get rid of that job. And that's kind of what they've done with the school system, too. So all of a sudden, we have a power outage. What happens? We got to cancel the whole damn thing because everybody's getting bussed in from everywhere else, and we're all coming here. And if it doesn't work in the morning at 8 o'clock for the kids to get bussed in, then we're screwed.
It's the domino effect.
Well, yeah. What are we going to do? Call all the bus drivers in? A lot of these bus drivers do the morning thing, then they're off in the until the afternoon, and then they're back again. And then somehow get the word out to everybody when the bus is going to be around.
And I mean, for many of these bus drivers, it's not just one run. I mean, they'll do the elementary school kids, and then they'll backtrack, and then they'll do the junior high kids, and then they'll swing around again and do the high school kids. So a lot of times, you know, it would take, you're right, logistical nightmare.
You miss your pickup, you're screwed until like, what, 2 p.m.
exactly.
or something.
Exactly. Well, seeing on Facebook that there was a very strong predictor of this storm spotted in Dartmouth on the Dartmouth Common, I do believe. It looks like the fair is getting ready to set up shop, so we knew why this storm was coming.
Whenever there's a fair in town, storm, that doesn't make me feel very good because all that gives these guys, these carnies, is an excuse.
An excuse to what?
To go, "Oh, yeah, well, that pin was in there, but it must have fallen out because of the storm." You know, I don't need to give them any more excuse other than the fact that, well, I was just sitting around the back smoking dope and forgot to put that pin in there. I mean, that's...
Don't think very highly of carnies, do you?
No. Not really one of those professions that the guidance counselor wants you to be.
It's not on the list of preferred careers?
Yes, they don't funnel you into that career path. Usually it's people who have... That's just one step up from jail.
Yes.
You know, a little hard
drifters.
On your luck, and you can be a carny. Yeah.
Yeah.
People who are, you know, escaping the law or doing, you know.
And to think there are legions of parents out there that just drop off their 15-year-old daughters off at the fair to have a good time at night.
Sure, are you sure this is safe? Oh, yeah, it's safe. Just bring your daughter over here. I'll make sure that she's fine spinning around on this ride here.
Also spotted over the weekend, saw this on Twitter at the Seaport Farmers Market. Somebody's bombing around town in a DeLorean. Have you seen this car zipping around the city?
No.
It's got Nova Scotia license plates, so it's born and bred here.
Is it a crazy professor from the future?
It looks exactly like the car in the movie. Mm. It's unbelievable.
Well, they all did. All DeLoreans, because they were all stainless steel. They were all the same color. They were all the same everything.
Was that what they were? They were stainless steel?
I'm pretty sure that
really?
Was a stainless steel car, yeah.
Okay. Wow.
You know what I did see the other day? I was bombing around the city with Constable Donnie Jenkins.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure I saw a cream-colored Rolls-Royce that looked just like John Lennon's Rolls-Royce. Like
a
big, beautiful... Yeah, it was on Windmill Road. It was just driving into the city. It's like,
wow.
Where the hell did we get a Rolls-Royce in Halifax?
Probably came from Bedford.
Have you seen Rolls-Royces around?
Not to my knowledge, no. Not that I would know what one looks like.
You'd look twice, though. No, you would.
Okay, it's regal enough that...
It's a beautiful car. Yeah, it's like, okay. What? You'd definitely give it a double take.
Oh, okay.
It's like what Arthur would drive.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I believe that cream-colored Rolls-Royce, that was very similar to the one that he fell out of in the movie Arthur at the very beginning.
All right.
You wouldn't look twice at that?
I would look twice at that. Yeah. Yeah. I would look twice at this DeLorean, too. It looks like it's in pretty good shape.
Although you looked twice at me, and I was driving a Daewoo when we first met, so...
See, there you go.
It's not the size of the car that counts. It's how fast you drive it.
Yeah. Spot of bad news for anybody who was planning to go see Martina McBride at the Dartmouth Sportsplex in October. Her October 2nd show has been canceled due to, quote, unforeseen circumstances. Now, it's not just the concert. I guess it's the whole concert tour. So I'm not sure what's going on with old Martina McBride, but...
Maybe slow ticket sales?
I don't know. The entire tour?
If I was a country star and I had a big Canadian tour planned in the wintertime and ticket sales were slow, I'd say, you know what? Let's cut our losses here and not go to Canada after all.
Let's pull the pin, shall we? Now, if you do have tickets for that show, you can just return them to the Dartmouth Sportsplex or your purchase place of origin, and you can get your money back.
Now, we're just waiting for Jeremy Webb to give us a call. Oh, look at that. Is that good or what? Oh. Can I call it or what?
Hello there.
Hello.
Good day, sir.
How are you?
Very good. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. Can you hear me okay?
Perfect. Yes, indeed.
But can you hear me?
I don't want to hear you.
Okay. There we go. That's Jeremy for you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, listen, so glad you called into the podcast, my dear. You're a very, very busy man, so we won't take up much of your time, but we want to hear all about Under Milkwood. This is just hitting the stage at Neptune. What was it, opening night on Friday?
Yeah, we opened last Thursday, and it's playing for all of this coming week as well until the 28th, so... We have a few more shows to go.
Another one of these small cast productions. You tend to gravitate towards one- and two-person productions.
Well, I guess there's a good reason for that. Actors are expensive, even myself. No, this is actually born of an idea. Originally, it was going to be a one-man version of Under Milkwood. I'd done a large cast version of it at theater school 20 years ago. 20 years ago this very month, I did Under Milkwood at the Bristol Old Vic, and there were 15 of us in the cast because there are, 30 or 40 characters in this show. And I had this crazy idea. You're right. I do like to do one- or two-person shows.
You don't play well with others.
Yeah, I'm not good in the sandbox. I tend to hog all the toys. Anyway, so very quickly it became apparent that that would be absolute lunacy. So we decided to approach Susan Stackhouse. Didn't have anybody else in mind for this. We approached her before I even had finished the sentence. I think before we'd even mentioned the title of the play, and we said, will you come and play in our sandbox? She said, yes, I'm in. Anyway, so we're very excited by it. It's a big challenge for us because, as you say, it's just two actors playing 30 or 40 characters, and it's only a 70-minute play, but it's a very busy 70 minutes.
You're going to pack a lot into that 70 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
This is a radio play. This is what it started out as.
Yeah, Dylan Thomas, who, is probably one of the most famous Welsh, if not the most famous Welsh author, writer, wrote this as a radio play originally. It's done on stage a lot since then because the characters are so rich and, it's a very visual, sensual, sexy, naughty, funny play, all those things. It works really well, live, and we've sort of expanded the world, so there is a set, and you do see us play all these people. But originally it was a radio play, so we actually start in the dark. We turn all the lights out, and for the first 2 or 3 minutes of the play, you are just listening to Susan and I talk as we are the narrators, and the voices sort of wash over you, and then gradually the lights rise.
Now, this is at the Neptune. Is it on the main stage or is it in the studio?
No, it's in the Neptune Scotiabank Studio Theatre.
Okay,
which is probably my favorite venue that I've ever had to play. It's 180 seater. It's really intimate. There isn't a bad seat in the house. You're really close to the action. You can hear everything. You can see everything. You can hear a pin drop. So a great venue for this play.
Boy, Scotiabank's slapping their name on everything now, aren't they?
I know. You know what? They approached me last week about getting a tattoo on my rear end, and I said yes.
Stand in line.
Yeah, Scotiabank is actually my bank as well, which is kind of funny. I say that. I should approach them and see what else they can throw their money at. Yeah.
So now you've got a couple of neat things planned surrounding, the performances in the next week. You've got a pay what you can night?
Yeah, we're going to turn the Sunday night performance at 7:30 into a pay what you can. Neptune does these all the time, usually at the beginning of a run. So we've decided to make the last show a pay what you can. So basically you show up, you line up, and there's a bucket, and you put what you can afford in there. you know, obviously I'd love it if people put $100 in the bucket, but people generally put between $5 and $20 in there.
That's a great way for students to get out and see some live theater.
Absolutely. And then the other thing, actually, you mentioned students. We're doing a talk back session on Thursday the 25th. Primarily what happened is we got a booking of, I think, 58 theater students from Dalhousie, and they said, could you do a little talk afterwards about how you did it and why you did it? And I said, great, we'll do a little talk back. So after the performance, which is only 70 minutes long, we'll come back on stage after the play and do a little chat for anybody that wants to stay and listen about how and why and what were we thinking?
Now, the shows go until
2 p.m. on Saturday and 7:30 every evening of the week right up until Sunday. Tickets are $25, regular price. There's a reduced rate of $18 for all the usual people that get a reduced rate. And then we've got this really cool special offer where if you go to the box office with a receipt for any kind of restaurant in downtown Halifax, you can get a $15 ticket all in. Just by flashing a receipt to show that you've eaten downtown. It's a little promo we're doing with the restaurants.
Cool.
So basically, you could probably, I think you could even just go to the World Tea House, the great tea house right opposite Neptune, buy a tea and a scone, and then take it and get as many tickets as you want at just $15.
Sweet. So
there's no
deal.
Limit to how many tickets you can buy based on your one receipt. So just prove that you've eaten downtown this week, and you can get those $15 seats, but only in person.
And speaking of tickets, you have so very graciously offered two tickets for our Halifax Daily News podcast listeners. And
I have.
Yeah, so we've got a pair of tickets for a performance this week. And Jamie, how are we going to give these away?
I think every person that shares this episode of the Halifax Daily News, you're going to be into a draw, and we'll draw from that. So get over to our Facebook page and share this podcast. Of course, you're listening to it now, because if you're not listening to it, then you don't get these instructions. And every person that shares it, you're up for those tickets from Jeremy.
Okay, and we'll make the announcement of the winner on
tomorrow's podcast.
Tomorrow's podcast. All right, sounds good. All right. Well, then before we let you go, Jeremy, if we would not be doing full diligence if we did not ask, what's up with Scrooge this year?
I don't know how many times you guys have seen that show, but this is the 11th year we'll be doing Christmas Carol.
Unbelievable.
My one-man version of Scrooge. It's unbelievable. I actually don't need to use makeup anymore to make myself look like Scrooge. I've aged during the show. As you know, you've watched it gradually happen over the decade. We're taking it down. It's very exciting. We're spending a month in North Carolina, Georgia, and Tennessee touring Christmas Carol. And now what we're doing is we're coming back just in time to do 5 or 6 shows on the Neptune studio stage as part of our season. So we get back, and I think we have 2 shows on the 23rd, 24th, and Boxing Day, the 26th. And that's all part of the season that we've produced here, which includes this play and then a play called Heroine and then Macbeth, Shakespeare's Macbeth in 2015. So all the details are on offtheleash.ca or willpowertheatre.ca. Yeah, so it's very exciting. Christmas Carol will be back, but only for a very limited run. Yay. We'll be literally getting out of the touring van and unloading into Neptune.
Well, listen, looking forward to seeing it again this Christmas, as always. Jeremy Webb, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you for letting me being in your little pod.
Hey.
It's cozy in here.
Anytime. Our microphones are always open to you.
So once again, what we're going to do is you go over to our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Halifax Daily News Facebook page. You will see this podcast.
A description of this here show.
Yes. What are we going to call it? Let's name it now. Neptune Tickets for You.
All right.
Okay, that's what this is going to be called. So share it. And that means share it with, with all your Facebook friends. At the bottom of the podcast there, you can see the little share button.
Mm-hmm.
You share it. We will know who you are, and we'll put every person who shares this podcast into a draw, and somebody is going to win these tickets.
We'll send you a Facebook message, let you know that you've won.
And ask you which day you would like to go.
Yeah,
because
that's right.
Jeremy
up to you.
Has thrown this up, and you can actually choose the day in which you go and see Under Milk Wood. And we'll let you know who the winner is on tomorrow's podcast.
Until then.